All right. So thank you all for joining us. This is Will Tuttle, and we are here with the World Peace Diet Circle, third Thursday of the month teleconference call, and it's June 18th, 2015. So I want to just, of course, thank all of you for being with us here on this call, those of you who are with us live, and those of you who are listening later, whenever that may be. And, so there's always many developments in the last month and many issues. Usually there are some pressing questions that people have and perhaps issues that we would like to discuss also in regards to helping to deepen our understanding and to raise our awareness about the issues that are facing us on planet Earth at this time, especially in regards to the World Peace Diet message of compassion for all living beings and justice also for all living beings. I think there's a very interesting connection between justice and compassion. I wanted to say a couple of words about that, actually. Maybe first, before I jump into that, I will just welcome you all to the call. And let's take a moment as we move into our time together to quiet our minds. And we usually like to do this at the very beginning of each call. And so if you're driving your car, don't close your eyes right now. That's not a good idea unless you're very intuitive. And that's, don't even do it then. let's turn our attention within for a moment and just give thanks for this precious opportunity that we have to be together in spirit and consciousness and awareness and a sense of caring and a sense of joyful participation in the movement to heal our world and to heal our consciousness and to heal the wounds that all of us have been in some ways inherited by being born into our society. So we give thanks for each other, everyone who's on this call, and we give thanks knowing that all the ripples that radiate out into the world from our being together on this call will be ripples that bring healing, greater awareness and peace and freedom and justice and more sustainability, to bless not only those who are living now, but future generations of all living beings. And we give thanks also to all the people who are making an effort on our planet now and who have done so in the past and who will be doing so in the future to awaken their consciousness and to help their friends and families and colleagues and others to question the official stories of our society that mandate practices and behaviors that are devastating to animals and to environments, to our own sanity and to our physical, psychological, spiritual, and cultural health. We know that we are part of another way of living, and that's what we would be liking to explore here together this evening. So bless you all, and thanks again for joining us. We do have, as you probably know, a new CD called World Peace Meditations, which is not on our worldpeacediet.com website yet. I unfortunately have not had a chance to sort of put that page up, but I was just today, went over and checked it out. It's not, if you go to CD Baby, just cdbaby.com, and put in Will Tuttle or World Peace Diet Meditations, it'll take you right to it, and you can have a look there, or iTunes has it there, too, if you want to have a listen to some of the meditations. They're all based, really, on the World Peace Diet vision of compassion for animals and for ourselves, for each other, for ecosystems. And there are meditations also specifically on the World Peace Diet vision. So this is a nice companion kind of a thing to the World Peace Diet. There's a focus on Intuition is one, relationships, world peace is one, especially on animals, our animal relations. One on earth healing, which I think I've done that one on this call earlier. And abundance, radiant health, joy, and gratitude. And world peace diet, excerpts for meditation too. So it's a resource I'm not sure that you're all aware of it, so I just want to mention it. We haven't promoted this really at all. But it's something with, it has music by myself and Madeline playing the flute, myself on the piano in the background. And it comes from a point of view of seeing that at a deeper level, we are connected to a field of consciousness that is essentially benevolent, that is our true nature, and that is free from the delusion of fundamental separateness, which seems to be injected into us by every institution in our society as we're growing up. And one of the main ways, of course, that it does so is through the meals, which force us in participating in these meals that are based on suffering of animals, essentially, obviously, primarily, disconnect us from our natural sensitivity and compassion. And once we start participating in these mealtime rituals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, typically we begin to leave the garden, as it were, of essential kindness and compassion and become perpetrators of violence against innocent beings. It causes enormous suffering to them, and as I discussed in the World Peace Diet, through the boomerang effect, what we do to others comes back to us. And so liberating animals is liberating ourselves. Liberating animals is liberating the earth. Liberating animals is also liberating the sacred feminine dimension of wisdom, Sophia, which is also called by many other names in the sacred traditions of the world, Shekinah, the Jewish tradition, and Prajna in the Buddhist tradition, and Saraswati in the Hindu tradition. Sophia was also actually the third, the third person of the Trinity, actually, in the Greek tradition. And there was the feminine dimension. It was called Hagia Sophia. And that was in the early days of Christianity, and very soon, unfortunately, it was the third person of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, being feminine originally, became masculine, the Spiritus Sanctus. So we've been, unfortunately, in many ways stripped of some of our essential wisdom and understanding through being raised in our society and participating in these meals. But the great news is that we are fully capable of healing and of awakening and of creating together a world for our children, which is based on a higher level of awareness. And it's kind of interesting. I'll just mention this briefly. I just got an email from Gabriel Cousins, who some of you are aware of. He's a pretty well-known teacher of spirituality and veganism, and one of the only ones, really, it seems like, that's out there making those connections specifically. And he's pretty prolific in his writing. He's written a few books, a lot of them on health, but some are on health and spiritual dimension. I have not actually read most of them, I mean, any of them fully. I've got to look through them a little bit. But he has a new book coming out called Conscious Parenting. And he asked me to write the introduction, or a foreword, actually, to write a foreword, which I was working on, actually, today, because they need it by tomorrow. And this book will be coming out soon. It's being published by a publisher in Berkeley. And it's a big book. It's like 500 pages. And it's really very nice to see this, because he's very unabashedly encouraging the readers to be sure to raise their children on a spiritual, organic, holistic, vegan diet. Organic, for him, it's mostly 80% live foods. But I think it's a good sign to see a pretty big publisher having such a, I think it's Atlantic Books or something, having a book like this coming out that so directly mandates something that's completely the opposite of what is mandated by mainstream corporate-funded nutritional advice that we get usually from doctors and from other sources and books and just in the general cultural milieu. So I'm enjoying being able to write a short foreword for that and really encouraging people to not abuse our children by forcing them to participate in mealtime rituals that disconnect them from their natural capacities and intelligence. And it's great to see in Gabriel's book a whole range of ways that he talks about that this is damaging to kids a lot. He does, of course, a lot. He's an MD from the physical health point of view and the devastating effects of dairy and meat and the concentrated toxins. A lot of things, really, I discuss in the World Peace Diet. So the message goes on, and that's great to see. We also have some news. This is, I mentioned, those of you who get the email, talking about what's coming up for this month's teleconference, the World Peace Diet Circle. I mentioned that we have a guest that had been on the show before, but they have some news, which I think is something that we're all going to be interested in hearing about. And I'm referring to Mark Stroud and Anna Ferguson. And they are, they're longtime World Peace Diet advocates. Mark created basically what was the first World Peace Diet study group in Cincinnati probably 8 years ago. And if some of you know, this year, 2015, is the 10th anniversary of the World Peace Diet. And Lantern Books, Martin Rowe, who's a publisher, has asked me if I would like to do something special for the 10th anniversary of the World Peace Diet. And so I told him that, yes, it would be great to have a special 10th anniversary version or edition of the World Peace Diet published. And so that will be happening a little bit later this year, probably in the fall, because we still have books. You know, we do a printing whenever we need it, a few thousand books or whatever it is, I don't really know. But we won't be running low on books for another few months. So I'll be writing a new introduction to the 10th anniversary edition, and also we'll probably have a little bit in there, a section, World Peace Diet study questions for facilitators, maybe have that right in the book to help people if they want to have a World Peace Diet study group to have some resources in the book. That's kind of a common thing that's done with books. So anyway, Mark Stroud and Anna are with us on the call, I believe. Let me check here. And I'm going to go ahead and unmute their phone because I think the best thing is to have them on the phone here with us so that we can discuss the news that they have, which I think is great, really. So I'm just unmuting Mark's phone, and I'm going to unmute Anna's phone. And remember, everyone, if you have a question, just press *6. And if you press *6 on your phone, then you will be indicated, and I'll be able to unmute your phone. So if you have a question for me or for Mark or Anna, just press *6. So Mark and Anna, you should be with us. How are you guys doing?
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Anna, very well.
Mark. Good. Awesome. So basically, I was just mentioning, I think you got on the call here a little while ago, and you heard that I was saying that this is the 10th anniversary of the World Peace Diet, and I know you've both been working on a variety of projects in Cincinnati, and as a lot of people know, perhaps who are on the call, you put on 5 years in a row the world, kind of based on the vegan teachings of the World Peace Diet, the Jubilee, which has been a wonderful conference on vegan spirituality and health with music and a lot of great speakers. You've also have World Peace Yoga, and our low-priest diet there in Cincinnati through yoga, and Mark is as a chef and as a yoga teacher. And there's lots of wonderful things you guys have been doing to help bring the vegan message to the world. What's the news? Can you go ahead and fill us in on the latest projects that you're working on?
Well, sure. A lot of things are coming to fruition this year. It's kind of amazing how the synergy is taking place, and it's all coming together in this anniversary year of the World Peace Diet. And as you said, we've been working on the study group, and it's still going strong after, it's actually, I think, almost 9 years now, 9 or 10 years.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, uh-huh. And we still have a consistent group. We meet two Mondays out of the month, second and fourth Monday, and they just keep going strong. Depending on the program, we might have 3 dozen people, we might have 50 people, we might have 100 people. So it's just to see it continue after all these years is, keeps us going and allows us to know that the movement is strong and continuing to grow. We see new faces all the time. And we essentially started with that, and of course, as you said, the Jubilee, but then we've been kind of in the wings working on a few other projects, and this is the big year. So we just tonight launched an Indiegogo campaign, a crowdfunding campaign, and the purpose of that campaign is to fund the publishing of the World Peace Diet Cookbook and the World Peace Yoga Book, as well as an album by a vegan band called The Peace. This amazing vegan band has played at the Jubilee, has played before, right before Will speaking at times at the Jubilee. And we're also in the process of launching, we've got our first prototype of a food line, a national food line that will eat all different kinds of food, but the first one is a World Peace Diet Cuisine brownie, and what's great about this brownie is that it's sugar-free, it's gluten-free, it's full of enzymes and nutrition, and it's also decadently delicious as well. So those four items are going to be funded with this Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign.
Wow, that's a lot of different projects you've got going, for sure. Anna, can you tell a little bit about the World Peace Diet, the World Peace Yoga Book?
Sure. So the World Peace Yoga Book is it's going to be both fun and serious. So there's bringing the message of yoga, which has been the message, the ancient message for years and years and years of ahimsa, a.k.a. veganism, and how that's related to really all the different yogic practices. And woven throughout the book, too, we have a kind of peace-loving, hippie, retro-themed pictures and philosophy, and it's excuse me. We've just been having a lot of fun shooting photos for the book, and really just practical tools for having a spiritual practice, and also how the spiritual practice connects to a vegan lifestyle, and how a vegan lifestyle really is a yogic lifestyle. So a lot of similar information is presented, like that's in the World Peace Diet, but from a more of a yogic point of view. So essentially reaching the yogis with that message.
Right. So you have I think people maybe aren't aware of it, but you have a yoga studio where you not only teach students yoga postures and yoga, but you also have a yoga teacher training as well, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah, and many of the people that complete our teacher training, excuse me, they often do become practicing vegans. And of course, we do cooking classes as part of the yoga teacher training as well.
Actually, the yoga teacher training, in essence, is a world peace diet facilitator training. So not only are they able to teach yoga, some people go through the program really just to deepen their spiritual practice, and so they might actually like to be a world peace diet facilitator because they get a year-long a dose of that message and will participate
right.
in that advanced training. So for people who looking to really deepen their spiritual practice and have some real practical tools to do that, whether they're doing it for their own self or because they're activists and they want to just be grounded in a strong foundational spiritual training, which we've really found is necessary as activists, that the people who don't get burned out and keep healthy and tethered to the passion and inspiration are the ones that have a regular, structured spiritual practice. So the World Peace
right.
Yoga teacher
mm-hmm.
training really fills that bill for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
Great. So it sounds like it's going to be a beautiful book, and I'm looking forward to seeing it when it's published with photographs. And, you know, it's one of the things that, you know, we don't have to go into it, you know, for too long, but it's one of the great ironies, I guess, that I see so many yoga teacher trainings and yoga studios. People are still eating dairy products, and a lot of times, even beyond that, they're eating meat, too. But certainly dairy, and it seems like that's a major blind spot within the yoga community. So is there anything, is that part of what you're trying to do, is change the yoga community to reflect more the ancient roots of yoga?
Oh, absolutely. And I think even just if the yoga community are the number of people practicing yoga now is huge. And so that potential audience to reach with this book is huge. And there's obviously not a lot of people writing about yoga and veganism. There's a lot on vegetarianism, but there's not a lot of emphasis on ethics either. So
right.
it's a huge community to potentially tap into with this information and with this message.
Great. All right. Well, that's great. And anything? And Mark, do you want to say anything about the other thing? The food line is very interesting. Maybe say a little bit more. I think the idea of having a world peace diet food line, people can put food in there. And stores, I mean, is this going to be going out to stores? And it's a lot of the
stuff.
I don't want to tell everything, but that and maybe a little bit about the cookbook, too.
Yeah. Well, I'll start with the cookbook. Just really enthusiastic about it. Since I've been cooking for so long, I've been working on this cookbook for a long, long time, and it just seems like this is the perfect time and the perfect collaboration. So the actual structure of the book, I'll talk about that a little bit. So that the prologue is being written by Will himself, and which I'm just really ecstatic about that. So there'll be some real I'll say almond meat there in the book, dealing with these issues along with just the practicality. I mean, I we talk often about how people have come up to you and said, well, you know, can I lose weight on this diet? And, you know, when they see the World Peace Diet. So they have a companion book that actually has a dialogue connected with the food, also connected with the images, I think is going to go a long way to give some people some additional practical tools to spread the blueprint of a piece that you so well expound in the World Peace Diet. And then the other aspect of it that I'm just charmed by is that Madeline is going to be writing an introduction to the book and also contributing some recipes to the book. So that to me is just very endearing, and I'm just such a warm feeling that we're all able to make such an impact together. The foreword is being written by Chloe Jo Davis from New York, who has Girly Girl Army, and she's just this powerhouse of vegan activism in New York, and so I'm just really honored that she's going to be involved. And then the photographer for the book, all of the recipes, 108 of them are going to be in full color reproduction. So, and that's the same that's true for the cookbook, as well as a lot of full color photographs and the yoga book as well. And the photographer for both books is an award-winning photographer, Jessie Fox, who's really making a name for herself, and she's a long-time vegan as well. So just the ability to work on these projects and work with shoulder-to-shoulder with other dedicated vegans to bring these necessary items into the world is just it's just fascinating to see the progress and the possibilities exist. And that's really a theme for this Indiegogo campaign, is we're asking people to really back it, and not only to back our campaign, which I think is all of our campaigns, it's all of our vegans and pre-vegans and just all compassionate people on the planet, but really to search out other people that have the same kind of inspiration and passion, and vet them, at the same time really look out for them and to support them, and really put our dollars where our mouths are. To really show that this world of compassion and empathy is possible, and that's where we're spending our money. That's what we're doing, and we're asking others to do the same. So that's a big theme of this campaign. And then just to talk a little bit about the World Peace Diet Cuisine, it just made sense that as an extension of the cookbook and the World Peace Diet itself, that there be you know, there's so many of these products around that, whether it's the Atkins diet or the South Beach diet, and you know, all of these kinds of things that really don't serve people that well, and they're not really that healthy, and of course, ethically, they're on the wrong end of the spectrum. So it's just really important, we feel, to have more choices for people, and especially to connect those choices to the deepest possible practice of ahimsa. So to have a World Peace Diet Cuisine line of food specifically, it just embellishes the message. It gives people more of a way to not only ingest the words, but also to specifically ingest the food, and then once again with the yoga book to ingest that spiritual food. So it just provides more of a full spectrum of opportunity for people to really just dive deep into empathy and compassion, which I feel is really what's required for more and more change to take place. So we've got some really great perks, as they call them, on the campaign. And of course, the books are part of the perk, and the music album, which I'll talk about that just a little bit. It's a vegan band that really has taken inspiration from the World Peace Diet, and they're really a great musicians that are in their own right, and it's essentially a rock musical version of the World Peace Diet, and just people being kind to each other, people being kind to the planet, people being kind to animals, and just so that we can all live in a world of harmony and that it's much more of just contemporary music. So it's just another way for people to connect with this message that might not experience it and not necessarily read a book. I mean, they just might listen to the music, and then, you know, that's their entry point. So we're real enthusiastic about that. And so that, of course, the album will be one of the perks on the campaign. And then there's one of Madeline's beautiful art pieces is going to be available, and this particular one is only available on this particular Indiegogo campaign. So there are a lot of really cool ways for people to be involved and be able to back what we're doing and all of us together to make this happen. And I think more and more people see these kinds of things that are created and established and come to fruition and get out in the world. I think that gives other people more and more of a opportunity to have inspiration and enthusiasm and creativity to create additional projects to get out into the world so that we ultimately end up with the peaceful vegan world that we're all imagining.
Great. Wow, that's exciting. Thanks, Mark, so much for elaborating on all four of these different projects. I'll be also writing, or I actually already wrote it, the foreword for Anna's book on World Peace Yoga. So it's really great to see these two books, the music album and the food line just starting. It was very interesting to hear that it's gluten-free and sugar-free, and you were telling me, I hope I'm not giving away too much, but that you got some kind of a special stevia syrup or something that's amazing. We have every day, in fact, right now, next to you where I'm sitting, we have a stevia plant in our garden, and I just absolutely love Madeline puts stevia leaves, and we have a bush, you know, a stevia bush. They grow great anywhere. I mean, you know, it's just got these green leaves, and you just put them in a pot with some peppermint or verbena and let it steep. It doesn't even have to be hot, actually, but it can be. And it's just so delicious. It's the natural sweetness that has no sugar at all, but it's absolutely delicious, really. And so I think the time has come for these kind of pioneering efforts to be made, and I really want to encourage everyone, all of us listening to this call, to do what we can to help move this project along, because I think it's a very practical way to bring ideas, energy, and the World Peace Side Vegan message to more people. And so I'm really grateful to you both for all the work you're doing. And do you have any last words you'd like to share, either one, before, or anything else you'd like to add? And of course, if anyone has any questions for Mark or Anna, please don't be shy. Press star 6. We have a few minutes, I think. You can answer questions if you have any questions for Mark or Anna. Otherwise, do you have any last, any other things? I mean, what I'll do is put a link, I guess is probably the best thing, in the email. I usually send out an email afterwards later today, this evening. And, but anyone, if you don't get the email for some reason, they would just go to Indiegogo and put in, what would they put in? How would they find?
The name of the campaign is Celebrate the World Peace Diet's Next Decade.
Celebrate the World Peace Diet, apostrophe S, World Peace Diet's Next Decade?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yep. So that's the name of the...
And we'll send you the link as well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That'd be good. I can put the link up somewhere, you know, on an email. But it's good to know what it is. So go to Indiegogo.com, which, as you know, it's probably the major crowdfunding platform on the web. And then you can type in the World Peace Diet, celebrate the World Peace Diet's next decade. Is that right? So, okay.
Yeah.
And you probably could just put in the World Peace Diet's next decade, because that's our short link. Or you could even just Google World Peace Diet's Next Decade Indiegogo, and it'll probably come up as well. So,
right. That's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. The next decade. Good. So we're starting off in the next 10-year cycle with a bang.
Even exactly.
Celebration. Right. That's terrific. Wow. Yeah. Great. Well, much love and appreciation to you both. Thanks so much for joining us. I don't see anybody at this point pressing star 6, so, but if they maybe stay on a few minutes, if you don't mind, sometimes people have questions a little bit later. And,
sure.
But otherwise, this is I think you were saying that the actual launch is right now. It's just starting. So, yeah, how long do you have?
It started, the launch actually started when this call started.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So right now,
well,
we're June 18th, and it goes for another month, I think, right? Something like that.
We actually took off today, and it'll last 45 days. So
45 days. Okay.
Yeah. It'll last through August 1st. And, of course, the first week is really important. So anybody that's interested, I really request that you take a look, and that first week is kind of where it's important to get some momentum going and then pick up some speed and carry us all the way through.
Terrific.
Let's make some noise.
Yeah. And, and I just wanted to say thank you to Will just for all the inspiration and passion and enthusiasm. Yeah, and Madeline as well. We're just really inspired to just keep doing the work.
Right. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, bless you both. I really appreciate it. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
He's manifesting, and like you say, it's a community project, so it'll need everybody to help pitch in to make it happen. Okay, talk to you later. Thanks.
All right, bye.
Okay, Will.
Bye. Yeah. Great. Okay. So, well, thanks to Mark and Anna from Cincinnati for letting us know about Celebrate the World Peace Diet's Next Decade and the ongoing efforts to bring more opportunities to learn about veganism and specifically, I guess, you know, the World Peace Diet approach, which is inherently, I guess I would say it's somewhat spiritual. I kind of hate to use that word because it has all kinds of connotations, but the idea that we don't only look at it from the point of view of health or cruelty to animals or in the environment, but as part of an awakening of individual as well as, you know, collective human consciousness to go to as Einstein said, to go to a level where we can actually solve the problems that we're creating here. And I think it's exciting that the cookbook and the yoga book and the cuisine, the brownies, and all these things are manifesting all at this time, probably in the fall. And so please do spread the word, if you can, everyone, about this. I think it's a good way to keep the momentum going. And, yeah, Madeline just recently painted a special painting, and it's never been seen by anyone except me, actually. And it's going to be one of the perks, the painting of a sheep. We just actually had here where we live in Hidden Valley Lake, California, where we have a house, part of the time anyway, now for a couple of years. And it's very dry here, and there's danger of fire. And so it's very important for the fields, I guess that's what you call them, the areas, the common areas, that are just grass, basically. And the grass gets really long. And right below our house is this huge park, you know, that borders the valley. And every year, of course, people would have to come in and using weed eaters. They'd have a whole team of people, and they would just weed eat the whole thing. So it's to cut it down for the summer, so there won't be any fire danger. But this year, for the very first time, there's a local fellow who has some sheep. And so the sheep all came in, and they were munching away. And I thought it's kind of a bittersweet thing. I mean, it's kind of sweet in the sense that it's a huge savings of not only of money and petroleum and hours and everything else, paying all these guys, and the noise and pollution. And the sheep just naturally... It was amazing how fast. It only took them a few days, and they ate the whole thing. And, of course, it's bittersweet because I don't like the thing. I'm not sure what this guy does. I'm sure he's making money on the fleece and maybe perhaps the lamb. I'm not sure exactly. But anyway, it was nice to see. But anyway, I guess what I was saying is as part of that, Madeline tuned into the energy of the sheep and did a painting. While I was away I think it was in Orlando recently at a conference for a few days. So that's part of the Indiegogo campaign as well. So thank you, everyone, for sort of participating in that announcement of these new possibilities that we have. And it's interesting, I was going to mention also, and by the way, now we're going to shift gears, so we're going to move away from that, although if you do have a question for Mark or Anna, just go ahead and press star 6. And if you also have a question or comment of any kind, really, about that or anything else, feel free to press star 6, because this is your time. If you'd like to ask me a question or have me respond to some comment or issue, or if you'd like to have other people, if you'd like to bring it up for the community who's listening to for input, because I know on the vegan path there are always many different types of issues that can arise, from interpersonal ones to philosophical ones, to emotional or spiritual or health questions and concerns. So that's the purpose of this call, to give you the opportunity, if you'd like, to say something or to ask a question, and also, of course, for us to, as a community, to share together, and also for me to share any ongoing revelations that I happen to have. One of the things that I noticed, there seems to be quite a bit of movement in the yoga world around this question of veganism, at least from my experience. Besides Anna and the work she's doing, there are several other yoga teachers and schools that also are encouraging people to be vegan as part of the yoga practice. It's a spiritual practice, and I think it's very important, I think, essentially, for veganism to be seen as a path of transformation, not merely as a path of health or social justice. I think these are very important, or environmental health. These are all very important. The thing that's so amazing to me about veganism is that it's truly, when you go deeply into it, it really requires us to question the deepest level, all of our assumptions about our relationships with ourselves and with life, and why we're on this planet and what we're doing here, and how we can use the precious time that we have, which is really relatively limited, to make a better world. And so when we were in recently in Hawaii and Korea, on Maui, there's a woman named Angel Honig, and she's a yoga teacher in the tradition of integral yoga, which was started by Swami Satchitananda. And I've been going through with her a little bit some of the issues that she's been having, because the integral yoga is specifically not vegan. And Swami Satchitananda has never told people that they needed to be vegan. He said that they should be vegetarian. So it's a vegetarian movement. And as you know, dairy products contain an enormous amount of violence to female animals and to babies, animals, and as well as environmental devastation. And she's very interested in becoming a WPSI facilitator. But in the meantime, she's been speaking there at their world headquarters, which is in Virginia, every year, and she's been playing my CD, Living in Harmony with All Life, in her classes, and she's been getting quite a bit of flack from the administration about it, and they've asked her, it's been very interesting. For example, they said that she lives in Hawaii, but every year she goes and she travels, and she's a pretty well-recognized yoga teacher. She's been teaching for integral yoga for like 40 years, she's a long time, she was only in her 19 years old when she first became a student of Swami Satchitananda, and was in the inner circle the whole time. So, I mean, she's well recognized as a seasoned yoga teacher, so they can't just ignore her, and she just won't shut up about the vegan thing. And so it's been interesting to see the way that, they told her that she has to speak in a way, in the yogic way, which is with these four different qualities. And I don't know if I can remember right now, but you know, the basic teaching that everything we say should be truthful, number one. Number two, it should be necessary. And number three, it should be non-harmful. And number four is it should be pleasant. And so they said, now, to tell her that when she spoke, to make sure that her talk promoting veganism to the yoga teachers and students has all four qualities of speech. And so we were discussing that, and she said, yeah, it's not difficult to see that it is truthful, and it is necessary, and it is non-harmful, everything she's saying. But she said, but I don't know if it's really pleasant. That's what people don't like. They say it's not pleasant for them to hear that eating dairy products is harmful, say, to cows or to ecosystems or to calves, and they would rather have something pleasant. So I don't know what you all think about that, but they're threatening to shut her down because what she's saying isn't pleasant. And I think we talked about it quite a bit, but I think essentially we have to realize that sometimes what we're saying is not perceived as being pleasant. People would rather be comfortably unaware and lulled into a state of consciousness that's really not in their best interest. And, you know, to me, it's a little bit outrageous, actually, that a spiritual teacher would, or a spiritual organization would, in a sense, require that, because really, I mean, spirituality is about questioning things and not about a pleasant, having a pleasant time necessarily at all. I mean, Gandhi talked about satyagraha, which means truth force, and it's never pleasant for us to change, I think, especially deeply rooted patterns. It can be quite challenging. And in this month's resources for the World Peace Diet Circle for June 2015, the quote that I chose happens to be by Mahatma Gandhi. The quote is pretty well known. The quote is, "A principle is a principle, and in no case can it be watered down because of our incapacity to live it in practice. We have to strive to achieve it, and the striving should be conscious, deliberate, and hard." I think that's just very arresting, very powerful. A principle is a principle, and in no case can it be watered down because of our incapacity to live it in practice. We have to strive to achieve it, and the striving should be conscious, deliberate, and hard. So what he's saying here, I think, is very important, that a principle, for example, ahimsa, nonviolence, which is to minimize the suffering we cause others for our own benefit, is something that it's easy in a society that's built on harming others for our own benefit to feel that we don't have a capacity to live this. You know, and Donald Watson actually in the definition of veganism says veganism is a philosophy and way of life which seeks to exclude as far as possible and practical all forms of exploitation of and cruelty to animals for food, clothing, or any other purpose. And I've actually met people who have said, well, you know, he said, you know, it's as far as possible and practical. So for me, it's just not possible or practical to be a vegan. It's too difficult because, I like to eat meat, or my parents or my kids or my spouse or whatever the excuse is. And it seems like perhaps, you know, in the very definition of veganism, he gives everybody an out. And yet, I think that's where each one of us, of course, it's not like we have to prove anything, but each one of us has to decide where we draw the line. And I think Gandhi here is making a very good point, though, that we are called, essentially, to strive to live up to the principle, and that the striving should be conscious, deliberate, and hard. Why? You know, why do we need to strive consciously and deliberately? And that, I think that's an important question. And I found it myself, essentially. And I think relationships in general can help us in this, because it's the way we we see ourselves mirrored in other people and in our daily lives. That gives us feedback on how, on the quality of our consciousness. And so I think very often when we're living, if we were to live all by ourselves alone, it might be more difficult in some ways to have a spiritual practice because we might not be getting that much feedback. We'd be alone and it's relatively easy, I think, to make progress in meditation and so forth. But the real proof of the pudding is in how we live it in the rest of our lives when we're not actually sitting and meditating. I think it's very important to have a meditation practice regularly and to take time for retreats also, if we can during the year, to focus more intensely on understanding our consciousness and bringing our mind into the present moment and so forth. That's really an amazingly important foundation. But also to bring the vegan principles of kindness and compassion to our relationships. And one of the things I found, for example, over the years in my relationship with Madeline and in my relationships with other people also, is to consciously be positive in a sense. I mean, to go out of my way to articulate kind and loving words to people, to thank them for their efforts or to say something positive to them so that they feel worthy and appreciated. And I think, there's research that shows that relationships that are thriving are typically thriving because people are looking with an eye of appreciation, of loving kindness, rather than an eye of criticism and judgment, and that breaks down relationships very quickly. Even close relationships like a marriage will pretty quickly go on the rocks if people are critical. One researcher was saying, actually, that if it's just 50-50, in other words, half the comments are positive and half the comments are negative, so it's just half and half, typically that relationship is headed for disaster. There has to be sort of a clear preponderance of positive messages going back and forth and not many negative ones in order for a relationship to be strong and healthy. And so that means, that can be, as Gandhi says, that can be something we need to strive to achieve, because if someone's doing things that I don't like, instead of just criticizing or complaining, to actually be grateful, to see the best in the situation, and to compliment them on the things they are doing well, and then maybe to bring it up to them in a way where we don't blame them for what we don't like in their behavior, but we just talk about, tell our own story rather than blaming the other person. That these things can be very difficult, when our emotions are involved and we're riled up or feel hurt or bugged about something or frustrated or not listened to or all these things. So I think in general, as we work on our relationships with each other, with those who are close to us, we can actually be working on veganism, on contributing to an atmosphere on this planet of loving kindness and caring, benevolence and goodwill. And part of that, I think, is not minimizing the suffering we cause others, not discounting it, but taking it seriously and doing the best we can to listen to others rather than to feel like they have to listen to us. The more I think we can be an example of that, I think the more effective we can be as vegan activists. And so Angel is working on all these things. She's really good. I mean, she's bringing this message, and she's also working on listening to them very carefully and respectfully and bringing the message without blaming or, as pleasantly as possible. I think, in a way, it is possible to bring it somewhat pleasantly if we bring the message in terms of our own story. In other words, if I'm telling a group of people about the devastating effects of dairy products, to do it in a way where I'm not sort of blaming them. Like, they're still eating dairy, and if I'm up there talking and saying, And then, you know, dairy is devastating because these cows are raped on rape racks, and their babies are stolen, and they're impregnated against their will again, and then the babies are typically killed right away, or they're they're allowed to live a couple of months and then killed, and you know, crammed in veal crates. You know, if I just say all these terrible things, there's an underlying message of criticism to the people who are listening. And so as much as we can to perhaps get the feeling of the situation, but perhaps I would say suggest to cushion that somewhat by telling my own story in it. You know, like, yeah, I understand what it is to just love dairy. I love dairy, you know, for myself for many years. Loved eating cheese and ice cream and butter and yogurt. I thought yogurt was so healthy. But then I began to realize that actually, there is a lot of cruelty in dairy, and so I looked into it, and I did some research, and I found out that cows don't just give milk, you know, they have to be impregnated, and then I realized it's done in a way that very often causes a lot of suffering to them, because it's usually before they would ever be pregnant, typically when they're still very young, and it's on a device called a rape rack where they're, you know, blah, 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 whatever. But you know the idea. So to talk in my, just tell my own story and do it with a smile and so forth and plant the seeds. And then I think it is very important to let go and not worry about it. You know, just do the best we can, plant the seeds in a loving way, telling our own story, and then let go. So Angel has been working with that, and she also has a book coming out, actually, where she's going to be talking about, you know, veganism. Veganism is just one of about, it's like 6 or 7 chapters, but it is in this message. So this message is coming into the yoga community in a variety of ways, which is really great to see. So I still don't see any star sixes, so I'm going to say a few more things here. We've been on the call now for about an hour, and we usually go till about 4:15 or 4:30 the hour. So there's a couple more things I want to emphasize, and again invite you, if you have any questions or comments, to feel free to chime in. I did get a couple of requests. One request was from someone who is a relatively new Ropi's Diet facilitator. He's actually in the training, and he's just recently gone from Europe to Thailand, and he's on a path of meditation, and he's wondering, his question to me that he wanted me to ask, to respond to during our time together this evening, and I'm not sure if he's on the call or not, actually. But anyway, his question, it looks like he just joined us, actually. That's great. Is it possible, or what are my thoughts anyway about being on a meditation retreat when there is some kind of animal foods being served, and how to deal with that? And that's a very good question, and it's something that I've agonized over myself in a number of ways over the years. And I don't think there's an easy answer, but one of the things I would say is that basically to have compassion for yourself and for the people in the retreat. I know, you know, when we're on a retreat, at least for me, when I'm on a retreat meditating for a number of days, whatever it is, for 3 or 4 days, maybe a weekend retreat, or especially if it's a longer retreat, like a 7-day retreat, or a 10-day retreat. I've done 40-day. I've done 90-day retreat. And luckily, the 90-day retreat was, and the 40-day retreat, they were vegan. So that was good. But I've been on some other ones, like a 7-day retreat that was not vegan, for example. It was vegetarian, but there was dairy being served. And when the mind is every day just sitting, you know, it's very easy to start chewing on something that bothers us, you know, and as the days go by and we keep going, you know, at the little buffet or however the food is being served, we go by we see the cheese, you know, day after day, or we see the yogurt day after day, or the milk, or whatever it is, day after day, And I remember, this was with Tony Packer, who was a Zen teacher in upstate New York. And I remember in my, you get to have these times of spiritual interview with the teacher. And I remember in my times, all we talked about was dairy. You know? I couldn't, you know, I wanted her to understand that this, you know, this is an issue that really, you know, it should be addressed in the meditation program. They would be much really more in alignment with the teachings if there was no dairy product served because of the cruelty involved. And of course, she, you know, did the best she could to respond to that without defending herself. But of course, it's very interesting. I mean, it's hard not to be defensive. In that situation, so I have compassion for her for that. You know, she got a little defensive, and I think I convinced her to somehow make soy milk. This is a long time ago. This was way before the era of soy milk that you could buy in containers. So they had some powder, and they made this powdered soy milk, which was disgusting. And they put it out. Of course, nobody wanted it, and they was like, "This is for Will." You know, the powdered soy milk, and then, it was a silent retreat, luckily, so, you know, there wasn't any talking. It was just sort of, that's how things are. But there's this sort of this feeling like, oh, he can't eat this. He can't eat dairy, you know. And it's like, no, I can eat it. I just don't choose to, you know, that idea. And I've been in other situations, you know, lots of situations, very difficult. When I lived in the Tibetan Buddhist Center, where the Lama himself ate meat, beef, actually. It was, you know, free range. This was back, way back in the 70s. But I didn't buy it, but some of the students would go and buy this very expensive special meat for Lama. And, I didn't usually have to cook it, but one or two of the people would cook it and feed it to him. But it was just sort of, we'd sit around and have lunch, and we would all be, at that point, I was really early on. I wasn't a vegan. I was a vegetarian at that point. So, we were all vegetarians there pretty much at this Tibetan Buddhist Center back in the 70s in San Francisco, and he was eating some beef. But I think it was one of the reasons I sort of, after a couple of years of living there, I really got a lot. It was great, actually, in a lot of ways, but I just felt like I couldn't stay there anymore because it didn't, you know, there was a few factors, but that was one of them. And so... eventually, what I do now most of the time is I do my own retreats. You know, I just get a backpack and go up into the mountains or somewhere and by myself, and I bring my own food, or sometimes I don't bring any food and just fast for a few days, or bring a little something to eat, and that's kind of how I do it. Because it's just nice to not have to worry about that. And I like being by myself. I've done so many retreats in groups that it's nice for me, for myself to do them by myself. But I am open to doing group retreats. And I think, you know, if there was dairy being served, then I guess we'd have to just see. You know, the most important thing, I think, is to just try to stick with the practice, try not to let the mind become overly fixated on it, and then maybe if you can, talk to the people about it to help plant seeds where that maybe won't happen anymore, you know. And I do remember going on a retreat with Thich Nhat Hanh's people, again, back in the 80s, when they were vegetarian, the retreats, and again, getting into discussions with the monks, pleading with them to not serve dairy products. And it's great to know that today Thich Nhat Hanh's retreats are all vegan. And they're one of the only ones, really, that are vegan. And so I think the squeaky wheel does get the grease in these cases. I mean, very often we can plant seeds and we can get changes made. And it's good to see that. You know, I think even the Kagyu tradition where I was complaining about the Lama eating meat, they're not allowed to eat meat anymore. They've actually forbidden all the lamas to eat meat. They can do dairy, but they can't do meat, and that's in the Tibetan tradition. So progress is being made, but I'm sure that the progress is only made because people say something about it, mm-hmm. and also do it in a way that is respectful and in a way, you know, just sharing our, again, sharing our story with people who maybe have a possibility to make decisions. We can move to a vegan retreats more and more, yoga retreats, meditation retreats, church retreats. We're seeing that happening more and more in progressive churches like Unity, Unitarian churches. Even, you know, like when we come very often to speak at these churches, they serve vegan food, and it's great to see that. So I wanted to hope that is adequate in responding to that question. You know, we can't actually change other people. You know, I just wrote an article. It's in the World Peace Diet Circle resources for June. The very first thing says Dr. Tuttle's most recent essay, and it's called A Golden Key to Effective Vegan Advocacy. And the main point I'm making in there is two things. Number one, that the secret weapon, in a sense, to help people go vegan, I think, anyway, is to always emphasize the point that we are eating animal foods not because of our own free choice, but because we're following orders. This is a very important point because at a deep level, no one wants to be merely an automaton, a mere slave, a mere robot, just going through life, following orders that are not in our best interest. That really bugs people on a very deep level to sort of have that revealed to them. And so I think it's very important to consistently, as much as we can, bring this message, vegan advocacy with people, but also to do it in a way where we just tell our story. So instead of, well, the way to say it would be, you know, how happy I am, how grateful I am that I was able to discover that the only reason I was eating meat, dairy products, and eggs was because I was following orders that came to me from my parents, teachers, and from every institution in my society, and that they were not in my best interest, and how liberating that has been, how much healthier I feel, and so forth. But this is a, when we just tell our own story, that takes the edge off it. And then we plant the seed, and then we let go. And I think the more we can bring this message in our own unique way to people and do it in a way that's loving and authentic, we'll plant seeds that I think will have a big impact. And, of course, the key to all of it is to see veganism as an ongoing path, not just a one-time thing where we give up meat, dairy products, and eggs, and then we're done. But that's just the first step in an ongoing transformative process. And meditation and study and relationships and our whole life is really an ongoing process of deepening our connection to our inner wisdom and compassion, which is what veganism essentially is. So that's in that essay that I just wrote. And also, right, the second thing on that sheet is a video of a lecture that I gave for the Pollination Project Salon in Marin with Ari Nessel. Yeah, I wanted to underline that, too, just briefly, and then I want to answer a question. Somebody has raised their hand, so I'll get to that in a second. But I just wanted to emphasize that the Pollination Project is something that's available to all of us, you know, and Ari is a World Peace Diet facilitator, and as you may know, he went through the World Peace Diet facilitator training, and he's a vegan, and he also happens to be very wealthy, and so he is committed to giving away $1,000 every single day for the rest of his life, and he's doing that, and he's been doing it now for, I think, over 2 years. Yeah, giving money away, and of course he has a little system established with a number of workers and I guess some volunteers too, who screen applications. But I'm a Pollination Project ambassador. So if you have any project you'd like to get $1,000 to help you along with, feel free to make an application, because there's a good chance, if it's a project to help promote veganism in your community in some way, there's a good chance you will get $1,000 for that if it meets the criteria. And so you can just go to the pollinationproject.org and sign and fill out the forms and so forth. And then let me know, and I can give a recommendation. And I've been told, anyway, that goes a long way toward getting approval on these projects. who just, I think, our good friends in Africa that we heard from last month, who are biking across Africa. They are applying for a grant, and they've also got a grant from our good friend Dawn, what's her name? Dawn, I have to look that up. But Dawn also gives grants for vegan projects, and Dawn Moncrief. It's called A Well-Fed World. So you can go to awellfedworld.org, and that's awfw.org, and you can apply if you'd like, because I think, you know, it can be very helpful if we can get some funding for projects if they don't need a lot of funding. You know, we can get some seed money. So anyway, Andy and Sven, who have been bicycling across Africa to bring the vegan message, are getting some grants. And I think it's great to see that a lot of us who are working, you know, Michael Landfield in Toronto has been such a staunch Bookish Diet facilitator and advocate and writer and videographer. And he has the Vegan Sandwich, which is a blog, and also radio interviews and a video and a book. And he had an Indiegogo campaign that I think is just closing now. It has not been that successful, but he is taking donations for his project, for his film. So, you know, it's always good, I think, if we can support each other in these projects. And one of the things I think it's helpful to remember is that our time on this planet is relatively short. So I think it is a good idea to find a career or life path, whatever it is, that resonates with your spirit. You know, and I guess the criteria for that, the main criterion for that, is that it is what you would do tirelessly without pay. You know, whatever it is that you would love to do or that you would just do tirelessly without pay is probably, in many ways, what your, on some level, your career or life path is. And to tune into that and begin to bring your daily life. And at least that's what I found for myself. The more I've been able to bring my daily life into alignment with what I would do tirelessly without pay, and to just do that more and more, gradually there are ways that emerge where funding does come for that. And lo and behold, you know, I've been able, and Nell and I have been able to spend our time advocating for veganism and doing music and art and writing, and been able to, through various means, be financially supported for it. And I think the universe will respond to us typically when we keep putting it out there as best we can and give as best we can what comes from our hearts. So that idea, what you would do tirelessly without pay, I think Ari is, again, helping people to realize their vision. And that's really one of the things, I think, in the World Peace Diet facilitator training and the World Peace Diet circle, that we want to encourage as much as we can, this idea that we're here to support each other in living our lives in ways that allow us to make changes, positive changes, in our lives and in other people's lives, and especially for the animals. So it's just beautiful to see so many examples of this, large and small, and right here with us. So I'm going to stop here for a moment and unmute the phone here. This is area code 917. Here we go. Who am I speaking with? Hi.
Hey, Will. How are you? It's Steve from New York.
Oh, Steve. Hi. Nice to hear your voice.
Nice to hear your voice, too. It's funny that you were talking about these funding projects and what you would do tirelessly. I just, you probably know, I just became a facilitator and got my certificate about 6 weeks ago. And
right.
Immediately after I got that, I was ready to jump in and set up my meetup groups and set up some study groups. And I'm two study groups in now. And I don't think that I would ever go back to not doing that. I find it so enriching, and I love the small company of people that that I've already developed really good friendships with. What I wanted to do, I get to talk to you quite a lot, but it's on one level. But what I wanted to do on this call is to reach out to any other facilitators that are on the call and pick their brains a little bit about how to grow the study group. I'm on Meetup right now, and I have about 70 people on Meetup. I do blog as well. I've got quite a large following on the blog, but not necessarily a very loyal following. They kind of, the numbers are good, but I don't always get a great response from my posts. And I'm trying to push and promote the study groups, and I'm looking to get this thing rolling as quickly as possible. So the question is, have people found that there is an optimal number of people in a study group to make it really rewarding? Is there too many people? How have people grown the study group to get to a number that's comfortable and to maintain that? Because I'm worried that my numbers are quite small right now, even though I've only just started. I'm excited to get it moving, and I want to see what the opportunities are that I can implement right away to optimize the opportunities that I have.
Great. Well, thank you. That's an excellent question. And I think, quite honestly, as this thing has unfolded, there hasn't really been a very organized approach to coordinating study groups. You know, people don't necessarily tell me or tell anyone when they're doing a study group. I maybe happen to hear about it. A lot of people will become a facilitator and then do a study group or two or three, and we don't know that they're going on. And I would love, actually, if anyone's interested, maybe you can send me an email or something, and just setting up, I think I have contact information for most of the people who have gone through the training, and maybe just have a coordinator that works with everyone who's interested in doing study groups in their area, you know, in your area, wherever you happen to be. And then maybe it would be nice, I think, to have a database in the sense of where people are located, because sometimes I do get emails from someone, say, in Washington, D.C. or in Salt Lake City or whatever. Is there anyone that has a Ropi Sai study group in this area? And I really don't know for sure, because when people sign up for the Ropi Sai study groups and go through them, we don't ask that question. You know, we don't really know where people are. So I'm one of these people, I guess, who is more comfortable writing books and giving talks, and I'm not myself so focused on that level of organization. So if there's anyone who would like to help out with that, it would be great, actually. And I've never asked before, so this is my first time I'm actually asking, because Steve just you've tickled me in a certain way that I think I should just ask and see if anybody can help, and maybe there's someone who has a few minutes who could help, or we can be in touch about what the best way to do that would be, and to perhaps facilitate creating a better framework for people to be giving the study groups in a way that they feel more supported and more part of a group effort that's doing that, because at this point it's relatively unorganized. We focus on the content and helping people to deepen their connection and understanding of the material, but then other things, you know, we need to probably move ahead on that too. So thanks for that. It's a great question.
Okay, thanks.
All right, and we'll be in touch. And so,
yep.
Great, thanks. So, yeah, so if anyone has anything, send me an email, and we will keep you posted on this. And we're working on, in a sense, streamlining and perhaps developing a better, better organizational kind of framework here. I'm thrilled essentially with how everything is going, but things could always be ramped up or go a little bit better. Of course, on the other hand, my old Zen teacher used to tell this joke, which I think does have a certain appropriateness to it. He said that Once upon a time, the devil was walking along on the earth, and he with his assistant, and there was this box on the ground that they saw as they were walking, and it was the truth. It was in this box, the truth. And the assistant said to the devil, "Oh my gosh, sir, this is very dangerous. I mean, we better hide this somewhere because, you know, if people find this, you know, you and I are going to be out of business." And then the devil said, chuckled a little bit, and he laughed, and he said, "No, don't worry. Even if somebody finds this, they'll just organize it." So I do kind of have this streak, I guess, that kind of rebels a little bit at organization. But I do think, on the other hand, I think it is helpful to have perhaps an organization here, at least of the multi-site facilitators, and where we can communicate together. And we do have the Facebook group, and I encourage people with the Facebook group and also the community forum to use those to communicate and ask questions and share. And if anyone has ideas of other things that would help increase the efficiency of all this, that would be great. All right. So thank you, Steve. And we're just delighted that you're with us in this program. Tara also has raised her hand. So go ahead, Tara. You have a comment?
Hi. Yeah. Hi. How are you?
Great. It's so good to hear your voice.
Okay. You can hear me all right, right?
Yes, perfectly.
Awesome. Steve, I wanted to mention that I recently had a meetup group, and as it turned out, not many people were showing up. In fact, at one dinner gathering, only one person showed up. So I really, you know, kind of looked at myself and inwardly and thought, well, you know, what does this mean? And then I realized with that one person, I spent a quality 2 hours speaking to them personally about veganism and various aspects. And really, that couldn't have been more perfect. So, you know, whether it be one person that you're reaching out to, and as soon as I got my kind of ego or vanity out of the way, you know, I just realized that that was a gift for them and for me, because they would have been lost in a crowd and not understood anything of what maybe I could have shared with them that day. So, and as it turned out, it wasn't such a great idea for me to do the organizing as it was to join another existing group, and now that one is really growing. So there's, you know, sometimes stepping out of the way a little bit. In my case, I think you're definitely, in my case, it was that way. In your case, I think that you'll just grow slowly but surely. And I think anybody, my God, listening to Mark and Anna speak of, well, sometimes there's only 30 people and sometimes there's 50 and sometimes there's hundreds. So I think he definitely knows something about organizing. So talking to him, writing to Mark and Anna would be a really good idea. I know they're really busy, but I think he's probably got some tried and true. And he's been doing this for 9 years. And it's not that, you know, he's in Cincinnati, I believe, and that's not exactly vegan, you know, territory as you would think of it. So he's got some of not exactly the low-hanging fruit of maybe Southern California or something. So,
right.
Contacting Mark and Anna would be great for some actual ideas of what they do on an ongoing basis.
Great. Thanks, Mara.
Also, I wanted to address your appeal to have someone help you ramp up organizational efforts. And believe me, I'm familiar with what needs to be done. And I'm really busy, too, and really the only resource that Will has right now, and I would dearly love to partner with someone to help me follow through on this particular project. I know exactly what I think I would do. It just requires more than one person because I'm pretty sourced right now. I don't really have a whole lot of time. So anybody that would like to work with me on this, and if it seems too daunting for you, I can work with you and you know, we can work together to accomplish it. If you don't have any idea where to begin, I do have an idea of where to begin. And believe me, there just can't be any greater honor than supporting what Will is doing. Truly, I've been supporting him for almost 5 years now, I think. And
yeah,
I don't know. I can't believe it's been that long, but really, it's an incredible honor to do anything, even if it's, you know, helping to put flyers up somewhere. It really is, because the way I look at it is that there's much that I can do. But Will is out there reaching people constantly throughout the year. So by supporting what he does, you're exponentiating your efforts and his efforts. So, yeah, definitely consider it. I would love to partner with one or more people in bringing Will's organizational structure to a higher level. And what a perfect time now that it's your 10th year anniversary. So, yeah, lots of things happening on an energetic
right.
level, I think, at this time. So
right.
this would be a perfect time to do that. Also, I wanted to say that in relationship to the pollination project, I support them and love what they're doing. They have grown so incredibly over the last couple of years, and I'm also one of their grant givers or grant reviewers. So small teams of people, and I believe Catherine, who's on the call, also is, and that's Catherine Perry. And talk about another rewarding project. You get to, of course, all this takes time, so it's work. But you get to review applications, and these are the heartfelt pleas of vegan people who have a project that they dearly have wanted to get started and just needed that little bit of money, $1,000 to get started to take them to the next step. And reading their applications in a team and making recommendations and asking questions is a growth, a personal growth project for the person doing it, and is very rewarding when you see that people do receive their grant, and then seeing them a year later and how they've taken it to the next step and the next level. So I really recommend that if you're at all interested in doing something like that, Pollination Project always needs dedicated volunteers. One of the perks of being a dedicated volunteer is that after you have reviewed a certain amount of projects, you are in turn given a grant to give away to someone. So I don't receive any money, but I then have the opportunity to have what's called a flow fund. Funds flow to me, and then they flow out of me to someone else. So effectively, I would choose someone who would receive the money, and I would highly recommend them or champion them, and then they would receive the funds. So I happen to have a flow fund that needs to be spent by the end of this month. So if you know of someone who has a project, please send them to thepollinationproject.org and read over the requirements and get in touch with Will, and he'll get in touch with me, and I will be happy to champion their project. All right? So that's all I had to say.
Great. Well, thanks, Tara. That's a lot. And maybe Indian Sven's project, you could, I don't know if you can help. But anyway, if anyone wants to follow up on any of these ideas, you can send an email to me, or you can just go to thewillpeacediet.com and send an email from there, too, if you don't have my email address for some reason. But thanks so much, Tara. Really wonderful to get your input on all these things. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Yeah. Okay. Wow. So it's, I don't know where the time goes. It's just amazing how it's half past already. And I'm wondering, what do we do here? We do have Mark has raised his hand. Mark, can you keep it kind of short, because I have a few more things before I can wrap up, but I want to let you say something. But you're still here. Thanks.
Real quick. One thing, a gentleman that talked about the study groups. Anybody wants to get in touch with Will and get in touch with me, or you can find me, of course, on our Indiegogo site now, or worldpeaceyoga.com, or peacehousegrill.com. I'm glad to guide and hold hand and talk about how to grow study groups. We started with 2, 3, 4, and like Tara said, we always have plenty of people now, 9 years. So really, perseverance is the key. And the only thing I'd like to say is thank you, the two funders that have already participated in the Indiegogo campaign to move the World Peace Diet's next decade. In the last hour of the call's been going, we've already raised $244. We're well on our way to 72,000.
Wow, that's great news.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Wow, well, thank you, Mark. That's a really kind offer to help people, because you have a lot of experience. So just go to, you can send me an email or go to the website. What's the website? The best website they should go to?
WorldPeaceYoga.com or PeaceHouseGrill.com, either one.
Right, WorldPeaceYoga.com or PeaceHouseGrill.com. I can write that down, too. Great. All right. Well, thanks, Mark. Awesome.
Sure. Thank you.
Spreading the word about this campaign. Thank you. That's wonderful. So, just in closing here, again, I want to thank everyone for joining us on the call. There's a few more points I wanted to emphasize, but I think some of these may have to wait till next month. As you all know, we'll be meeting again in July, and the July meeting will be on the third Thursday of July, which is the 16th of July. So mark your calendars now, and looking forward to that. Please go through the resources for June 2015. There's quite a lot of amazing things that have been happening. Some of our own people, Susan Pitcairn, wrote a wonderful article on the paleo diet. She got a friend of hers or acquaintance who's a Weston A. Price Foundation person that sort of really pushed back, and she sent me the whole thread of their conversation. But I will kind of give you all a heads up. If you're not aware of the Weston A. Price Foundation, they can be kind of aggressively adamant that you need animal foods to be healthy. It's all about health. Based on Weston A. Price, who never said a word about eating animal foods or a word against soy, but they seem to be pioneering, or not pioneering, but sort of leading the charge against soy, saying that soy is devastating. And I think it is funded by the meat and dairy industry, so I think that's really where they get their information, a lot of their funding anyway. So just to be aware of that, I think it's helpful. And there's quite a bit of conversation lately about Beyonce going vegan, and is that a good or a bad thing? And I personally think it's a good thing. There's some articles about that, in the sense that it brings the vegan message in a positive way in front of quite a few people. She has a lot of people that are going to hear about it that wouldn't otherwise. And then there's just this new movie is coming out, Plant Pure Nation. It's about T. Colin Campbell. It's by his son, Nelson Campbell. Again, an excellent movie. I think I haven't seen it yet, but it looks from the trailer like a very good movie. And I was just in touch with T. Colin Campbell. He's very busily getting that ready, and they've been successful in their campaign as well to bring the vegan message, essentially based on health, though it's not really the vegan message, more the plant-based, it's WFPD, Whole Food Plant-Based Diet. But I think, again, to get that piece really solidly planted is very helpful, because the Weston A. Price Foundation, these other groups that are anti-vegan, the only thing you can be anti-vegan on is the health thing. So stronger we can have this the arguments and the research that's being done. I think it helps the animals a lot and all of us. So please look at some of these things. It's just, you know, I spend quite a bit of time every month putting this together, and there's wonderful information here if you have time, which I know we don't all have time, but if you have time to review this, there's just excellent, important information coming out about the environmental impacts, about the health impacts, the water impacts, and the most recent things that are happening in the world of, you know, what's happening to animals, and not only in the United States but in other countries. New Zealand just recently passed a law officially recognizing animals as sentient beings. That's really good news. So that's in there. The Mayo Clinic in Kaiser Permanente, really terrific to see that there, a lot of the people there are moving towards veganism and recommending it, and many other things. So I'm going to, there's a few articles on my recent visit to Korea, other things, I think from last month too. So it's just a real honor to be with all of you, and I want to, again, I was kind of hoping we would have time to hear from Lily Macy. As you all know, I just, unfortunately, the time ran out, but I want to definitely remind everyone, or tell, if you're not aware of it, tell everyone on this call that Lily Macy has the World Peace Diet Sunday, and every Sunday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Time is a reading of the World Peace Diet, followed by discussion. And she's working through the World Peace Diet for the second time, and she's been on this call quite a few times, and I would love to have her on again, but we've unfortunately run out of time at this time. But this coming Sunday, which is Father's Day, I and Madeline also, Madeline and I will be on the World Peace Diet Sunday call. So please tell your friends, anyone, this is wide open to the general public, and it's a terrific tour, as Lily has informed me, and really I think all of us, that she has found the World Peace Diet to be a very helpful tool to not only promoting veganism, but to help create vegan activists. And just by reading the World Peace Diet together, going through it, you know, sentence by sentence, and going through it, you know, relatively quickly, they don't belabor every point, but it's like a telephone World Peace Diet study group, basically. And the community includes people from all over the United States and all over the world. And she's been persevering in doing this every single Sunday now, well into the second, or into the second year. So, in the second reading. And so this Sunday, Madeline and I will be on the call, and we will be happy to answer questions and talk to people. And it's a lot of fun. And hopefully, some of the things that I wasn't able to get to here, we will be discussing on the call there, like connection between compassion and justice. I really would like to talk about that. And also the importance of not frittering our precious time on planet Earth away and focusing on what's most important. I know that I'm in really good company when it comes to that. You guys are fantastic. So we're going to kind of wrap it up here. It's past time, and thank you all so much for joining us on the call. It's an honor to be with you, really, and let's say in our own way, in our own hearts and minds, the prayer, the affirmative statement, if you like that better, compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Together, compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. We just know that at the deepest possible level, there is a field of kindness, compassion, love, and freedom that is our true nature, that is the foundation of life, that all of our efforts rest on knowing that this fundamental, loving, true nature that we share with each other and with all life is the foundation of the work that we're doing, and that we can go forth into this coming month knowing that not only are we grateful for the companionship that we have with each other, that we are part of a movement that is ultimately unstoppable and victorious, and that animals will be liberated, that they are essentially we are all liberated, and we're overcoming the delusion that we see here on this planet right now, and we're working to help awaken not only ourselves but many people as we can to the underlying truth that there is one life living through all of us, and as we understand that more deeply, we can help contribute to the healing that is so much needed and is growing every single day. And there's so much more we can say about that. So see you on Sunday if possible, and if not, then a week from a month from today. And also I wanted to mention, check out our schedule. We'll be flying, Madeline's flying to Switzerland in a couple of weeks, and I'll be flying to New York and New Jersey and giving a couple of talks in that area before coming back. So if you are in that area or know people, I'll let them know. And if you'd like me to come by your area, let me know too. Okay, let's stay in touch about these possibilities we discussed. Much love to you all. Thanks so much. Have a beautiful month. And together we are making a difference. Thank you.